the Word of God. And I just thought this morning, I just make a little observation, which you may or may not identify with, as I do, but, excuse me. But have you ever noticed, because I have, have you ever noticed how imperfect some people are? Have you ever noticed that? Not you and me. Others. Those ones somewhere else. How imperfect some other people are. It's frustrating. It really is frustrating. But you know, it's not really surprising, because when you look at the scriptures, just one scripture here in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, says the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure, who can understand it? So right at the core of those other people's beings, there's a deceitful heart. There's things that aren't right with them. And so it's any wonder that we sometimes have struggles with people, because they're not perfect. You know, people can be such a disappointment. They can be such a disappointment. And the Bible gives us numerous examples of some of these disappointing people, some of these imperfect people. Let me just explain a few of them. What about David's sin with Bathsheba? Terrible. Samson's failings with Delilah and others. Talk about imperfect. And then you get Ananias and Sapphira. Nice church people, but very deceitful over money. Terrible things going on through these imperfect people. Imagine being a friend or a relative of those people, or that they're in our church. Imagine that, having these people around us. Alright, seriously though, no matter what circles we move in, we are going to be dealing with imperfect people all the time, right? Imperfect people, just like you and I. And, you know, human imperfection, for what it is, overflows into behaviours that will impact you and me. You can be sure of that. The behaviours of imperfect people are going to impact us in different ways. And one of the ways that we get impacted is through disappointment. Through disappointment. Here was a person who claimed to be this, and then we found out that they were something else. It's a letdown. It brings sadness to our heart. We say to ourselves, this just isn't right. This person has let me down. And life in general can be full of disappointments. It's not just necessarily our interaction with other people. Sometimes life itself brings disappointment, just because of the fact that we're living in a fallen world. Things like aging, loss, illness. We prayed about some of the situations today. Failed expectations, missed opportunities. All these things that are just part of living in the world, not necessarily to do with anything else, causes disappointment. We were so sure we were going to get that job. In fact, someone even gave us a word that said, you've got that job. And then someone else got it. Disappointment. Disappointment on two levels there. Someone had a word. And we certainly felt sure. And it didn't happen. Disappointment. We're all set for university. We're going to become, go to medical school. I'll become a teacher. And now, I find I'm pregnant. Well, not me. We find we're pregnant. Or we get a disabling sickness, perhaps. Or maybe there's a financial loss. And those dreams we had, those plans we had, that direction we'd set for our life, is not going to happen. Well, not now, anyway. And that brings disappointment. Hope of what was going to be is now dashed, and we are now confronted with a different reality, and a disappointing reality at that. Has anyone ever shared my pain in that? Yeah, right. Probably most of us here, if we've lived long enough. And we know there are degrees of disappointment. Not every disappointment's the same. You know, when we find our husband or wife has been unfaithful and our marriage breaks down, that's a high-level disappointment. You know, if we hope we were getting a job and we didn't get it, that's a level of disappointment. It's serious. Or we go to Woolworths and all of the mint chocolate ice cream is gone. It's disappointing. It's disappointing, but it shouldn't change your life. Sadly, sometimes, that level of disappointment, some of us sometimes, is enough to send us home as a grumpy person. How does disappointment affect us? It affects different people in different ways, but here are some of the ways that we may be impacted. We may lose the sense of our own calling in God through disappointment. If our disappointment comes from someone in the church, we might cry out, "What's going on with the church? What's going on here?" In such cases, we can easily move our focus from our own personal call to follow Jesus to simply what is wrong in the church. And if you've never had disappointment in a person in a local church, you need to get along to church more. Or you just haven't been around the church long enough. You will be disappointed some point by a person in the church. Hopefully it's only on this level. Hopefully it's not going to be up there. But, you know, we will be disappointed. I've been disappointed. I've created disappointment for people in my churches. But, you know, disappointment can cause us to lose the sense of our own calling in God, the very reason we're a Christian. We may be turned aside from the very relationship with Jesus we have. If it was a person who we thought was so close to Jesus, we may think, well, if they've not lived up to the message, what hope is there for me? Is there any power in the gospel at all? There is, of course, power in the gospel, but at that moment we may feel that there's not. Thirdly, we may allow destructive thinking to take over in the light of our disappointment. You know, you always knew that there was something wrong with that church. You always knew that. Or that movement, or that family. So you make it your business to extend an individual's failure to the whole kit and caboodle. So someone in our church lets us down, and we magnify that to be the church. Amen? Sometimes do that. Or we get let down by a family member, and that becomes all of our extended family. That's a really poisonous side to disappointment. That's why we need to take it seriously in how we deal with it. It's so easy a trap to fall into, tarring everyone or everything with the same brush because we've had a disappointing experience. We've lost the ability to compartmentalize the issue. Sometimes we need to do that. We need to compartment. We need to put things in a box and say, that's where it belongs, and don't let it go any wider. So there's some of the ways that disappointment can affect us. And as I say, it can go from this level to that level in what we've been experiencing. Anyway, as I said, the truth is we face disappointments inside the church and outside the church. Anyone can disappoint us. And we can all experience disappointing circumstances, and we probably have. And the closer to us, the more trusted the person was, then the impact of our disappointment is more severe in proportion to the relationship. If the McDonald's girl at the window is a bit narky with me, it doesn't spoil my day. I can put that in the box of mild disappointment. But if Josie does that to me, well, that's very different. She never would, but that would be very different because the level of relationship is different. You know, strangely, some people don't even see that distinctive. They get thrown for six because, as I just said, someone in a service position doesn't serve them well, and that ruins their day. That is elevating a disappointment way beyond what it is. We've got to learn the ability to compartmentalize those kind of disappointments and not have them shape our day. You know, some people's futures are shaped by those things. They get upset in that situation, they magnify it to anger, that magnifies to violence, and then they find themselves in prison for nothing. That happens every day of the week, folks. It really does. Particularly around the men of our community. Not so much women, I guess, but men in our community. Many men are in jail today because they never learned to process disappointment. Never learned how to do it. So whether it's a Christian leader, whether it's a relative or a friend or a workmate, whether it's a disappointment from the simple failed expectations of life, whatever the source of our disappointment may be, there is one thing I'm sure that you'd agree with me today. No one of us, none of us want to live a burdened down life because we've wrongly handled disappointments. Can I hear an amen? None of us want to find that we're in a terrible place as an outcome of not handling disappointment. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus said that to us. He said, "Put it upon me if you can. Do that." You know, as long as we feel we have the right to harbour negative reactions, you know, we'll never get out the door of our experiences. And so many people's disappointments cause us to huddle in a corner of our darkness. And Jesus says, come out of there. That was a good song. In the face of the disappointments we face, there are some real action steps we can take. It's the good news. None of us needs to be there. None of us needs to stay there. We can move on with God and not be burdened down by our disappointments. So how do we do it? What is the biblical Christian response to disappointment? What can we do? And this is not exhaustive, but it's a start. First of all, number one, remember that God has called you to be faithful before Him, no matter what. He's called you to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust, that's you and me, must prove faithful." It's not just about pastors and elders, leaders. When you came and bowed the knee to Jesus, when you said, "Jesus, take my sins in exchange for your life," you then entered into a trust with Jesus to be faithful to Him all the days of your life. Amen? You did. You probably said those words or something similar when you were baptized. Do you agree to follow Jesus and walk with Him all the days of your life? Remember those words in baptism, something like that? And you said, "Amen." So you've been given a trust, and He's called us to be faithful to that trust. Let's our first look always be at our calling as a follower of Jesus. You have a job to do in Christ, and you are not excused. You are not relieved of duty because someone else messed up and caused you disappointment. You're not relieved of duty. Jesus looked down and said, "Oh well, you did have a nasty time at the McDonald's window today. You get a hall pass, John, for the rest of the week. Just live like the devil." We know Jesus isn't saying that. We don't get to throw in a towel just because someone else didn't do their part. And I'm not diminishing the pain that we experience sometimes in that. But we do need to move past the pain, or you're just going to be have a badge on your what is this thing? Shirt. Badge on your shirt that says, I've had pain. Well, who's that? That's John. What is his story? He's had pain. And he wants you to know it. He's not going to let you forget it. But it simply doesn't work that way. We're not excused because things just didn't pan out the way we thought. If you didn't get plan A, there is a plan B. If you don't get plan B, there's a plan C. Jesus has always got a hope and a future for us. That's what the scripture says. Some say if you don't get your first choice. You know, it's like the kids in uni, right? They put in their first, second, third preference. And if they don't get first preference, well, they better go for second. They better not just give up. Or third. You know, Apostle Paul was planning to go to Spain to preach the gospel. What a great aim. Good on you, Paul. Go to Spain to preach the gospel. But God ordained that he'd go to Rome instead of Spain. And he would in fact go to a Roman prison rather than sit on the beach in Spain. The good side for us is that Paul did not spit the dummy and say, oh, but I want to go to Spain. Instead of spitting the dummy, he wrote a large part of the New Testament so we can read it in the form of his letters to Philemon, to the Philippians, the Colossians and Ephesians. He did that instead of spitting the dummy. Before we move on, I wonder if you could just join me in a bit of group work and just repeating something after me, some affirming statements that I think will be helpful to us all. You can just repeat after me. God values me. God values others. God values people I do not know. Now wait for it. God values people I do not like. Do you believe it? It's true. Brings us to the second point. We've already said, remember that God has called you to be faithful. The second point is, consider your own imperfections. Because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it's so often said, there but for the grace of God goes I. That thing in another that so sorely disappointed us, that thing that so upset us, are you above that sin? Is that something you would never, ever, ever, ever do? Reflect on what happened to them and ask yourself honestly, am I open or even close to a similar failure? Have I even actually in the past been guilty of the same trespass that now I am so offended by? Yet I've done it. Yet now I have deep offence because it's happened to me. And I think we all know that the honest answer won't even surprise us. We know it's true. So we need to consider our own imperfections. Thirdly, let's remember that God can redeem any person. Any person. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. If God wants everyone to change for the better, everyone, that person who offended us, that person who disappointed us, God's heart for them is that they'll change for the better. That they'll come to Him. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, rejoice. Tell everyone about it. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, you may also be tempted to do what? To fall into the same pattern. God is in the business of restoration. Hallelujah. God does not base his desire to restore in regard to how much hurt that person has caused. It's not the basis of what God's doing. He bases it on the value of one thing, the redeeming work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. That's it. That's it. It's a redeeming work that covers every sin. Every sin. Yours, mine, everyone's. Hallelujah. That is good news. That's why it's called the good news. Because no one is out of reach of that blood, of that gospel, of that cleansing, of that redemption, of that healing, of that restoration. No one. No one. Praise God. You know, there's a time in our life for some of us when no one would have believed in our redemption. Right? No one would have believed in our redemption. The Christians who around and about, who knew us, said, that's not going to happen. And here you are. Here you are. Hallelujah. So remember that God can redeem. Number four, affirm that your faith is in Jesus, not in human beings or in changeable circumstances. Psalm 118 and verse 8 says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. 1 Corinthians 3:5 says, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. It's a good thing to be able to lean on people and to trust in them, to get alongside people. It's good to show respect and honour to people who are in leadership, who are helping us. It's great to do that. But it's a very dangerous thing to deify people, to think that anyone can be somewhere on a plane like Jesus. Because no one is. No one is. I know early in my developmental years, and when I was a young pastor and even a young Christian, I did look at some people as infallible. Nothing could possibly be wrong in their life. They preach such a good word. They've got such solid teaching. There couldn't possibly be anything wrong with them. Sadly, over the past 40-odd years of being a Christian, regrettably, I've discovered that there were things wrong. And some of them fell away completely from their calling. But that doesn't disqualify the fact that God does work in our lives. And that even though people can be honoured and respected, that honour and respect needs to fall a whole lot short of deification. Because that's never deserved. That's never deserved. You know? In fact, I often say, if you want to deify a person, then I can tell you one thing about them. You don't know them well enough. You don't. No one is without fault. And given enough time and opportunity, every one of us has the potential to let other people down. Because we all get tired. We all get frustrated. You know? When I'm dealing with you as the congregation, I always try to be well, I always try to be healthy, I always try to be fresh, I always try to be respectful and honouring. But I can tell you, given enough opportunity, you'll meet me one day and I won't be quite as fresh. I'll be a little bit tired, I might be a bit grumpy, and I might deal with you in a way that I later regret. Let me say that up front. Not because I want to. Not because that's my intention, but because any one of us can be off our game. Any one of us can get tired and frustrated and even come in from a previous annoying experience and someone else bears the brunt of that. Now that's unfortunate when that happens. And I would try to hope that never happens in my dealing with you guys. But it might. It might. Because last time I looked, I wasn't Jesus. And Josie said, amen. So anyone can let us down. And as far as circumstances go, that's people, but even as far as circumstances go, it's right and it's reasonable to pray for good outcomes. I believe in that. I do that. But if your faith in God is based on always having good outcomes, you will discover sooner or later that that is not reality. Okay? Didn't hear too many amens out there. But it's still true. If our faith in God is kind of a hyper-faith thing that says, my outcomes are always going to be good, then sorry, you're going to find that's not actually true. But it's still good to pray for good outcomes. And in the end, our greatest faith statement is, all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. See, when it doesn't look good, God says, behind the scenes it actually is. Particularly if you keep a soft heart and an open heart. So, number five, and this is really important too, don't be the cause of your own disappointments by failing to be discerning. What does that mean? Proverbs 3:21 says, my son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. Most of you have read a fair bit of Proverbs. A lot of talk about wisdom. It's like God's just drumming it in Proverbs. Can you try and think clearly? Can you try and think wisely? Can you use a bit of discernment and save yourself a whole lot of drama? That's the paraphrase. That's the John Passion version. Just try and think a bit before you act and save yourself some dramas. 1 John 4:1 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. Some people set themselves up for disappointment by simply lacking discernment. They place unwise faith and confidence in others due to a misunderstood concept of not judging. You know, people say, oh, you mustn't judge. Yes, you must. That's not what it's talking about in that verse. It's not talking about not having discernment. It's saying not thinking of yourself in regard to another person, to say, I would never do that, and judging in a harsh or cruel or unfair way. It's not saying don't judge. When our kids, and I used to use this illustration, when my kids were young and at the babysitting age, needing babysitting, if I knew someone had an issue in the past with some kind of offences against children, someone say, oh, you can't judge someone about that. You know, you can't judge that's happened. You just got to let that go. Well, in a sense, we do, in a sense of forgiveness and going forward. But would I ask that person to look after my children? That's not judging. If I did that, I would just be dumb. Just dumb. And I would also be responsible for whatever the consequences were of my lack of discernment. I couldn't say I didn't know. And that goes into every area of lacking discernment. You know, sometimes I've seen this so many times with young ladies. And everyone except the young lady can see this guy is rude and arrogant and does not treat her well. But every now and again, he'll crawl up to her and say, oh, I'm sorry. Here, let me buy you something. Let me take you out for dinner. And she gets involved with that person, even though blind Freddy could see he's not a good fit for you. And he's going to cause you problems. And down the track, you're going to have distress. And if you have a child with that man, it's going to be a disaster. Discernment. We shouldn't be the architect of our own disappointments. That's just foolishness. And God's given us, everyone here, a brain and discernment. Most of the time we know what we should do, we just refuse to do it because it's more comfortable in the moment to do what we know we shouldn't do. And if that sounds hard, it's hard, but it's not harsh. It's not harsh. You know, I wish I could have spared, and I was saying about young ladies, I wish I could have spared the literally dozens of young women who've come into our orb over the years, and we tried to help, tried to steer them, tried to tell them the very things I'm telling you in that those sentences, and they wouldn't listen, and the fruit was reaped. And it's sad. And I take no pleasure as a pastor standing up and saying, I was right and they were wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it was avoidable. It could have been different. It could have been a blessed life, and in so many areas it became a cursed life. And it didn't have to be. So let's use discernment. God doesn't want us to blindly apply faith to other people. And I'm not talking about perpetual superstition of people. I'm not talking about because someone's made a mistake in the past, we always judge them in terms of that mistake. We're always looking for that same mistake. Saying, well, they went to jail once and, you know, they stole a car when they were 15 and went to jail, and now they're 45 and we're still saying, well, I don't know if you can really trust them. I don't think they're an honest person. Don't put them in charge of the offering. I'm not talking about that kind of an attitude. But I'm talking about not being blind in applying faith to others. Too often we follow after our hearts or just are careless when we should have shown wisdom and diligence. People do it in business. Let's move away from the girls and their bad choice of guys. People do it in business. They go into partnership with someone because they spin a good yarn. And 6 months later, they wish they never had, as their bank account has disappeared, and often the person's disappeared. There was no diligence. There was no discernment. Don't be the architect of your own disappointments, please. We've all done it. I've done it. We've all done it. But going forward, why do it again? Some people say, experience is the best teacher. Not true. Someone else's experience is the best teacher. If I see someone stick their finger in the PowerPoint, and I see that, wow, what is that like? Some people do that. Wonder what that's like. To lose all my money or to have a ruined relationship, you know. And the bottom line is remember that God can heal our hurt, because we all have had disappointments, we've all had the pain. Some of us are carrying the pain of those disappointments right to now, and I'm not judging you. That is the reality, because some of the disappointments and hurts have been so deep. But remember, this is good news for you, remember that God can heal our hurt if we give it over to Him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him, all your cares, all your concerns, because He cares for you. Psalm 147 verse 3 says He heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds. You know, if we choose to hold on to our disappointments in the form of harboring resentment or bitterness or revenge or even lasting sadness, then God has to leave you to that. He can't do much about it. He has to leave you to that. But if we give it to Him, the healing process can begin. And let me say this very clearly. Giving our disappointments over to Jesus, this is what it does not mean. It does not mean that it didn't really hurt. You don't have to pretend it didn't really hurt. It's not pretending that what the person did was not really that bad. You don't have to degloss what the person did. You don't have to diminish what the person did. You can face it completely honestly. it doesn't mean that that person will get off scot-free for their offence either. That's a mistaken thing of forgiveness. Well, forgiveness, I should be praying that person gets off whatever they did. No, that's up to God. Mercy and pardon are God's thing. We just have to show forgiveness. Mercy and pardon are really God's business. It simply means this. It means that I am going to submit my disappointment and all of the feelings that go with that disappointment to the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that in your mind you believe in the healing power of the Holy Spirit. I know you believe in your mind. Sometimes that's got to flow down into our soul and our spirit and our emotions to really take hold of it. And it may take time, by the way, but get on the journey. Don't stay at home coddling a disappointment. Get on the journey of restoration and healing, because God's on that journey with you. All right, as I come to a close, I just say it'd be great if we lived in a world where everyone was exactly who they presented themselves to be. That would be great. It'd be great to live in a world where a promise was a promise, and that was it. Till death we do part. I'm committed to you for life. It'd be great if that promise was always kept. That'd be fantastic. You know, it'd be great to live in a world where people couldn't easily be turned away from God's truth by the promise of sex or fame or money or some other attraction. It'd be great to live in a world where everything that we think should happen or would happen actually happened. The reality is, we don't live in that world just yet. We don't live in that world just yet. And we are part of a universal church that's also not quite there yet. So be aware and be prepared. If you feel let down by others, don't let that bring you down. Don't carry it in a way that Jesus never asked you to. You can actually refuse, it's within your power, to refuse to allow the sin of another person to take root in your heart. It's within your power. Say, no, that sin of theirs is not going to take root in my heart. Pray for people who've let you down. Have a part in their redemption, if you can. That's not always possible. But if you can, have a part in their redemption. And if you feel the circumstances of life have let you down, why not have a fresh look and say, God, show me how all things can work together for good in this thing. In the midst of serious disappointments, that can be a very brave prayer. God, show me how you can actually turn this thing around for good. That can be a really brave prayer. But why can't that be you to pray that prayer? You, a brave follower of Jesus Christ, because that's who you all are. You're all brave followers of Jesus. You live in a very challenging world. You live in a very challenging season. You live in a very challenging culture. The fact that you're here in church means that you're a brave follower of Jesus Christ. You've decided to nail your Jesus colours to the mast with his. So good on you. And if you're not a follower of Jesus today, then why not follow him? Why not follow him? Why not take that step of receiving his life for your sin? He'll take it upon him and he'll cleanse you and heal you of it all. You can be a new person today by simply asking Jesus to come into your life. One day God will remove every disappointment, every tear, every regret. And you know as well as I do, we're not there yet. In the meantime, with God's grace working in us, we can take care of our own heart before the Lord. So determine by faith this morning that you'll continue to serve Jesus in faithfulness, no matter what form the disappointments of this life may take. determine in your heart to give space to be lifted by God in the midst of life's letdowns. Because he'll do it for you, I promise. Can we stand together as we close? Oh Lord Jesus, we stand before you today. We acknowledge in our hearts that we've all received disappointments in this life. Some of them have been on the lower level, medium level. Some of us have had high level disappointment in this life. High level. And Lord, we don't need to diminish the impact of those things on our feelings, on our emotions, on the outworking of our life. We don't need to diminish what those disappointments have meant. But Lord, we want to hand them over to you afresh today. With all the emotions that go with them, we want to hand them over to you today. And pray that you would take these disappointments from off our shoulders and place them upon you, upon your yoke. That we might be healed, we might be set free, we might be able to move forward in the calling that you have for our life. And Lord, where we know we've disappointed others, Lord, help us to forgive ourselves, and where possible, help us to make things right with someone that we know we've disappointed. Lord, that's not always possible, but where it is, help us to have the grace to do that. And for all of us, Lord, as we go forward into this week, into this life, Lord, help us to be careful, help us to be wise, help us not to be the architects of further disappointment in our life. But Lord, let us listen to your voice. Let's listen to that still voice of your Spirit that will lead us in the ways of righteousness, will lead us in the ways of wisdom, if we have an ear to hear. So Lord, help us all in these things. We all need your help in that area. None of us are above making foolish mistakes. We can all do that. And we all need your help not to. So Lord, let your grace rest upon each one of us here, whether we're at home, online, or whether we're here in this building right now. Let your grace rest upon us as we go into this week. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your love that's been shed abroad in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Let's have some COVID-safe